Systematic. Systematic Podcast.
Recorded in Humble Park, Chicago.
It's a local broadcast.
Hosted by twin sisters, Alexis and Samantha.
Just in case your friends ask. Systematic Podcast.
Hey, this is Systematic Podcast.
Show about politics,
pop culture,
and sisterhood.
It's your girls here. I'm Sam.
And I'm Alexis.
And yeah, this is like a season 4 reboot. We're fucking back. Sorry for the wait.
Right. We tried to pick this up last year and our lives just got way too busy. So here we are. 1 year later, our lives are still incredibly busy in our personal careers, but we're picking it up again, and it's something that we definitely want to prioritize. So we really appreciate all of y'all's support in the interim.
Yeah, patience, all the people that are like, hey, where's the episodes? Here we are, and yeah, we're excited.
Sam, do you have any updates for the people?
Updates, yeah. I mean, I did a few things. I think, yeah, last time we spoke, yeah, designing for Nike. I did that for a little bit over a year. I was working as a color designer on a contract for a little over a year, and the first shoes that I worked on should be dropping this summer, so that's crazy, right? So that should be a thing. And what else? I mean, I've since started my own LLC design studio, and right now the biggest project that I'm working on is actually the Sorry Poppy tour. It's a national tour going to over 40 cities in the US. We actually have our guests on this episode who run the Sorry Poppy tour. And so we're definitely going to talk more about that, but it's been a really fun project to be designing for all women's spaces. So that's been really cool.
Love that. Love that. Love that. Our mission
aligns with women.
Yeah, it aligns with all of your projects.
Yeah, my design work and things like that. Yeah, I feel actually really fortunate that I get to like work in these spaces. I really enjoy. How about you? Do you have any updates?
Yeah, so I spent like the last like 2 years since I finished graduate school working for the state government and also consulting campaigns. So now I'm pretty excited to have transitioned and started working full time for the city government under a new mayoral administration, where the progressive movement in Chicago has grown. So. Yeah, looking forward to the change.
Definitely.
And we'll definitely talk about like updates in the city.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, all of the campaigns that you worked on have won and been successful, right?
That's correct.
Since we're already talking about politics, do you want to just jump right in to some political current events? I mean, I mentioned that we have really amazing guests from Sorry Poppy that we're talking to, and we're definitely going to get to that interview, which is really insightful, talking to some boss ladies running a huge production. But yeah, let's catch up on what's happening in the world first.
Yeah, so we can start with talking about the migrant crisis that's happening in Chicago and also other cities throughout the country.
Woo! Yeah, that's a lot.
You sounded kind of excited when you did that.
No, I was like, it was like an exhausted. Oh. Like, woo. Jeez. It's, yeah.
Yeah, so trying to just summarize at a high level, but basically, like, border states have been busing migrants to, like, you know, Democratic cities.
Yeah, sanctuary cities like Chicago. So they're coming from like Texas and Florida.
Yeah, but they're not giving any like notice. They're not coordinating at all with the cities. They're literally just sending buses here.
Filled with human beings.
Filled with humans and yeah.
Families.
Leaving cities like Chicago to scramble.
Yeah, so there's been like, what, over 8,000 migrants.
Yeah, according to the city, there's currently almost like 4,000 migrants living here. Over 50% of them are families, so people arriving here with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been crazy because there's not even enough shelters in Chicago for homeless people or people that are houseless. But yeah, so now we have thousands of families and single individuals arriving, and there's no shelters, so they've been sleeping at police stations.
Right. With like no access to showers or basic resources.
Yeah,
a lot of the time. And there's more outside of the city, is that what you're saying?
I think so, yeah. Some like suburban areas throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the new mayoral administration, Brandon Johnson's administration, has identified this as like a top priority. It's caused like a lot of tension in different neighborhoods.
Well, Lori Lightfoot said it was like she made it like a, what was it, like a crisis emergency or something already.
I think she did like declare it an emergency like as she was out the door, but apparently her administration wasn't really doing
anything
very much to try and secure shelters.
Okay,
so yeah, it's the city's at a crossroad right there because we're trying to figure out like where we can expand. And there's been a number of these community meetings now over the past few months that have been pretty tense, where a number of community members from these communities where they're looking at creating expanded shelters are voicing opposition to migrant shelters being in their backyards.
Why? Why do you think that is?
I think there's a lot of neighborhoods in Chicago that have felt like they're neglected and they're underfunded and they're under like under invested in.
So it's kind of like, why do these people who just showed up here, why are they getting like a priority when like people in their neighborhoods already have like similar issues?
Yeah, I don't know if the issues are necessarily similar, but like, you know, just like basic issues.
Well, like housing or like food insecurity.
Yeah, housing, food deserts, just lack of resources across the board. So I can definitely understand the frustration that people have with their communities being
under-resourced already.
Under-resourced. But unfortunately, areas of the city that have like more space and more vacancy are those communities that have been historically underinvested in, whereas there's just not as much like unutilized space in like,
because they're using like vacant areas. Schools and things like that, or like churches.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, I can understand the tension, but again, these are like people who are escaping dire circumstances in their own country. They're coming here with nothing. They're sleeping on police station floors, so it's it's a human rights crisis. And yeah, it's important for the city to figure out how we can all collaborate and come together
yeah,
manage the needs.
And like the federal government, I think, needs to be doing more also, right, to like provide.
Yeah, totally. Funding. I mean, that's like a whole more complicated issue, but it definitely, like, the crisis is stemming from immigration policy on the federal level,
right?
And it's trickling down to cities having to navigate this. So
yeah, I mean, unfortunately, at the end of the day, it's like we got us, and our communities are the ones that are really stepping up with like mutual aid efforts. I think that helping. So
yeah, it's been amazing to see mutual aids and just volunteers all over the city coming together to, yeah, take care of each other and take care of our, like, new neighbors and residents.
Right. So hopefully the city gets more organized and expands its shelter capacity, so at the very least, people are not sleeping at police stations. But we'll keep y'all posted as things develop. It's developing every day. Alexis, did you have another political topic you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I think just briefly, we can talk about the city preparing for summer, and Chicago has started a new pilot program that's pretty interesting, where they've used state funding to hire around 500 peacekeepers, and these peacekeepers are people who are essentially like trained as violence interrupters. They're people who are trained to help de-escalate conflict in
various communities.
Yeah, they're calling it the 102, like, kind of like hotspot areas in the city where violence is most recurrent in 14, like, kind of neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So these peacekeepers work mainly over the weekends when violence spikes, so from Thursday to Sunday. And this program is based on research that has shown, like, smaller pilot programs like this have found to decrease violence at higher rates than the city average. So we know, like, police don't prevent violence, they respond to violence when it occurs. So the idea here is, like, these are people who, like, are from the communities that they're working in,
right? A lot of them people who have direct experience with their families or either themselves being, like, former gang related or things like that.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Hopefully the program is successful. I mean, we need more programs in general that help prevent conflict, de-escalate conflict that leads to violence, because we can't just continue the way of operation in Chicago, which is just hiring more police officers, giving more and more of our city budget to police, and not having any reduction in crime because police don't prevent crime.
Right. I mean, just a refresh of the context here. Chicago police get 40% of our state's budget.
City budget.
Yeah, city budget. Sorry. That's like $4 or $5 million a day.
Yeah. So we're hopeful, wishing the best for
this program.
Peacekeepers. I mean, it's not an easy job. It's a dangerous job.
Yeah. I mean, this is a really innovative program. So this could, like, be a blueprint and a reference to communities all around the country.
Yes.
Potentially. I mean, do you want to, like, give... I could give examples of, like, actually the type of work that they're doing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I feel like it might be, like, a little bit vague. Just from, like, the, like, testimonies and experiences I've been hearing about on Motive, season 4. But, like, it's direct, like, violence prevention, like... Say there is, like, a shooting,
mm-hmm.
and they get a call, and they show up. These, like, a lot of time, this is just one example, they will show up at the hospital where the, like, victim is going, because a lot of time people will congregate at the hospitals when there's been a shooting. So they show up there, they talk to people that are, you know, affected by this violence, and they work really hard to make sure there's not types of retaliation and things like that. That's just one example. They also, like, you know, talk to youth and young people who are vulnerable and could be targets of trying to be brought into gangs or, you know, these situations that they might be, like, vulnerable to. So they do, like, youth intervention to make sure that young people don't go down the wrong path. But yeah, these are just a few examples of the direct community work that they're doing to prevent violence and harm.
Yeah, I think it's also important to remember that this is a new program, and with any new program there's going to be, you know, bumps and, like, learning curves, and
yeah, we're not going to see results immediately, but who knows the impact that this could have in the future.
It's definitely important.
And we know that what they've been doing is not working. So it's worth trying something different.
Exactly. So we'll see how the summer goes.
Thanks so much for that summary on local political topics that are really important. Let's switch gears now to pop culture and just say that Alexis is actually going to tap out for this segment briefly. Right?
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, our schedules have just gotten unmanageable, so we're going to try something new this season.
Yeah, our brand manager, Fernando, that you guys met last season, he's going to be jumping in and, yeah, talking pop culture with me. I mean, I think he has, like, really great perspective and insights, so we're excited to be incorporating his perspective.
Voice.
Yeah, a little bit more. You'll hear from Alexis again in our guest interviews, but bye for now.
Okay, we got Fernando tapping in here.
Yo, what's up, guys? It's good to be back.
Yes, very happy to have you. Let's get into it. Let's talk some shit.
All right, let's go. Yeah, what should we talk about first?
Okay, so I wanted to talk first about the new Little Mermaid movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know we discussed this briefly, But yeah, it came out last weekend. And yeah, it was a huge hit. It was like the number one movie in the world, I believe.
Yeah, insane. I mean, I feel like we probably, people expected it, but yeah, I'm like, to this degree, I'm not sure.
I mean, it had been really, really hyped up for a while now.
Yeah.
But there was also the obvious controversy when it was first revealed that Halle Bailey was cast as Ariel.
Right.
They were like, no.
How can that be?
Not my white princess.
I mean, like, first off, you know, mermaids are a mythical creature to begin with. What? Like, what?
Right. Why does it matter? Yeah, I think that it's really great and adding, like, a lot of representation to the Disney canon. We already have a lot of white princesses. So I think this is huge for all, like, the little girls that can now watch the movie and feel seen and represented.
Yeah, no, I mean, and also, like, on a lighter note, I mean, leading up to, you know, the release, right, I think, like, when the trailer first came out, like, how many fucking adorable, beautiful videos did we see on TikTok of, like, little girls of color just, like, looking up at their screens and being, like, starstruck. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's what this is for, right? Like, so...
Yeah, I think, overall, the reaction has been really well received. We have not seen the movie yet. But
we will be.
Yeah, we will be this week, so we'll have updates after actually viewing it. But yeah, just like hearing and reading some reviews, I think for the most part, yeah, it was received well, but, you know, nothing goes without criticism, and there definitely was a few criticisms and controversies, especially with, like, some of the casting. I know that, well, okay, first of all, Halle Bailey is a beautiful star. I love her and her sister, and, like, I've heard some of the songs, and so that's great. We got that check. She's awesome. But, yeah, I know we were talking about Melissa McCarthy being cast as Ursula.
Exactly, yeah, and then also, I mean, it's weird because, I mean, there's so much, like, you start peeling, like, the layers, and it's like, okay, then Ursula was inspired by, you know, late drag queen Divine, right. And, like, you know, like, villains being, specifically in, like,
in Disney,
yeah, being, like, queer, ultimately, yes. So, like, I mean, totally. Ursula being, you know, gay, too.
Well, some other examples for people that are like, what? Disney villains are gay? like, Jafar in Aladdin was, like, really, like, feminine, and I mean, even Scar, those are a few. The captain in, like, Peter Pan, these are just off the top of my head,
but
Captain Hook. So, yeah, like, just to give that context of, like, Disney villains often having,
those
qualities, and what that says, like, what were they trying to say, villainizing queer people?
I mean, be gay, do crime. That's what I always say. but yeah, I think it's one of the other things that happened around, like, the Little Mermaid was, you know, there were drag queens or just, like, LGBT folk, you know, calling out, like, the very, very terrible makeup on Melissa McCarthy, right? And apparently the makeup artist, who is a hetero cis white man,
older white man,
said that he was offended by the criticism or something, and he said something stupid like, why can't I do as good a job as a queer person or something?
And it's just like, it's not about that, like, how literally tone deaf, it's about the space that you are taking up and like, the opportunities that, like, should be given to people from those communities.
Yes, and I think, like, Drag Race star Sherry Colby, I think, said something around the lines, you know, like, this is why it's so important to have, like, young queer artists, you know, in these positions that have a finger on the pulse and, like, are actually part of these communities that these characters might be inspired from or based off of, right? So regardless of, like, I mean, yeah, I get, like, don't put other people's arts down, but it's, like, it's so much more complicated than that nowadays, especially when it's, like, a studio as big as, you know, Disney that is hiring these people. Like, why not hire a queer artist that is in the community that can give you,
like, an authentic reference?
Exactly. Yeah.
No, definitely. I agree. And I also didn't know that Melissa McCarthy was a former drag queen. We discovered this.
Yeah, apparently she used to go by Miss Y, which was, like, a play on, like, Missy. But yeah,
she was a drag queen in New York. Yeah, that's so random.
Yeah, there was another article saying around, like, I guess, like, how her skits around Trump could also be portrayed as, like, you know, being a drag king, you know? So I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I get it. And
I do kind of see it a little bit in her comedy. I'm like, it makes sense. But yeah,
I just, like, never would have. But okay, I guess now we all know that Melissa McCarthy was a drag queen once upon a time.
Okay, so another controversy in the casting that I heard some criticism around was the actor cast as the voice of Sebastian the Crab. David Diggs is his name. I guess he's pretty big. I am not super familiar with him, but he was, like, in Hamilton and things like that. And, you know, I'm sure, he's clearly a great musician and actor. But the criticism was that he is not specifically, like, Jamaican or Caribbean, and the character of Sebastian.
Sebastian's supposed to be,
He's supposed to be. So I heard some Jamaicans specifically criticizing that his accent was not authentic. And I think it speaks to the same theme of, like, why not cast the people from these communities?
Like, is it really that hard? Like, I'm like, is it?
They're like, I know there's Jamaican actors. They have time. So those were, like, two of the criticisms. But yeah, overall, I heard, you know, that the story also just made some developments. There's, like, three new songs in the movie. And yeah, one note that I thought was interesting was around the song Kiss the Girl, which apparently had some controversies, like, just around, like, consent and the messaging.
The original song, it was song. More so, like, she's not saying anything, so go ahead and kiss her.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, now this one is a little bit more.
Yeah, they took that out. And so they're just, like, being really aware about, like, the messaging.
Like, yay, consent.
Yeah. Okay. So cool. I think, like, that's good, I guess, that they're
I mean, yes, definitely, but yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see the movie. I'm happy for Hallie, and you know, get your money, girl. I don't know. That's basically those are my thoughts on that.
Yeah, and apparently I think the last thing was just what, like, Eric's mom is apparently black. So apparently Eric has a little bit of melanin and he might be half black. So
apparently
if Little Mermaid could be black, so can Eric.
Yeah, apparently his mom is black, and I think that I heard that, like, the casting in general is, like, a little more diverse. So, like, you know, I'm not giving Disney any points because they have a lot of making up to do.
100%.
But, you know, we're here for the progress, I guess.
Yeah. Alrighty, yeah. What do we got up next?
Okay, really quickly, I do want to get to our guest interview, but I feel like I have to talk about Bad Bunny and Kendall Jenner.
Benito.
Yeah, what the hell?
What is Benito up to?
I'm personally disappointed in him and his decision making. if you guys have not been paying attention, Bad Bunny and Kendall have been, like, spotted out together, like, just everywhere, basically, at this point. And
he recently, dropped a single with, like, it's, like, the first time that he's ever, you know,
titled song in English. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And what is it? Where She Goes?
Yeah. So, it's really interesting. I mean, Bad Bunny, his English is not that great. We've seen him, like, give speeches and things like that when receiving awards. And, like, you can tell that he doesn't enjoy speaking in English. I mean, I've seen interviews recently, like the carpool karaoke, where he was, like, speaking more English, and it's, like, cool. I mean, nothing wrong with either language, I guess, but I'm super skeptical, because it's, like, I know she doesn't speak Spanish.
Exactly, yeah.
And if you clearly don't enjoy speaking English, like, how are y'all... What the fuck are they talking about, basically, is my thought.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I have been hopefully suspicious that it's a PR relationship.
You and along with the other people too. Like, there are theories out here. Yeah,
it's been a theory online that, like, Kris Jenner is just behind this, and it's, like, all a publicity stunt relationship.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I mean, come on. You're dating back to Kim. Come on.
Like they're just like coordinating their like relationships for publicity. I mean, not bad marketing. And I guess it's fine. I would be happier if that was the case because I'm like, come on, Benito. You can do better.
Benito. Yeah, what the hell are you doing?
For context, for people who might not be like huge Bad Bunny fans, so much of like his music, a lot of it is based in like activism and like speaking on like he's known for speaking about like systemic issues facing, you know, Puerto Ricans on the island. I mean, he's spoken up for like queer and like trans like people and trans rights before and things like that. So like,
I mean, he has the whole song about how le gusta la chocha de Puerto Rico, but here we are with
talking about colonizers and things like that, and here you are with like one of the biggest, like, this family is just known for being like culture vultures, culture appropriators. So yeah, it's giving like sellout to me. I'm not a fan of the relationship. I'm like, come on, you can do better. Can you date someone with some sazon?
Right, yes, exactly. But I mean, hopefully it is a PR stunt. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't put it past them, honestly, right? I mean, I think like so much of what we see and like so much of what the media portrays is coordinated to an extent, and I think this kind of also goes with like media literacy, right? I mean, how many, like, to the people, it's like, it's, you know, it's creating all the buzz and they're, you know, they're getting the attention that they want, but hopefully it's not authentic. I don't know.
Yeah, so that brings me to like the video that I was just showing you earlier. We were watching this TikTok that like is alleging, this is all speculation, you guys, but this TikTok is alleging that Kendall and her ex, Devin Booker, and Bad Bunny and his other girlfriend, Gabriella, were all spotted together in the same city in, where was it, Monaco?
Monaco, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like Hailey Bieber's there too. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're like on a boat or something. So it's like, all right, maybe it is actually a PR stunt because, like, why would they all be there together?
Yeah, yeah.
So
makes no sense. Or maybe they're all just, like, dating each other, which I'm also, like, go off. Go for it, please. but, I mean, I guess, yeah, we'll see what happens in the next couple of months. I mean, they've been in these headlines for a minute now, and
I mean, it's working, I guess. Yeah. We're talking about it. So, you know, publicity creates relevancy, creates opportunities and money for all of them, so it's like they're winning, I guess. I just
now there's gonna be keeping up with Las Kardashians or something in Mexico.
Oh god, I hope not.
Hopefully not.
Okay,
alrighty. Yeah. next topic there, let's see.
Okay,
since we're talking about reggaeton, Sueños was just this past weekend,
right? So, Sueños Festival is an all Latin music festival. This was their second year here in Chicago in Grant Park. So, we definitely are going to talk about Sueños in our guest interview with the boss ladies of Sorry Bobby. But we wanted to give our own perspective on how it went and, yeah, just some context. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely, I think, just thinking about it, like, year over year, I mean, you can really kind of see the changes that they've made, right? Yes. And the influx of people that they've attracted.
Yeah, the crowds are massive. Mm-hmm. I read somewhere that it was, like, 50,000 people, which is crazy.
Yeah, I think they also were projected to, I think they made more money, or they stimulated Chicago's economy more than what NASCAR is projected to be doing in a couple of weeks. Because I don't know if you knew, but like NASCAR is going to be happening in Grand Park. Exactly. Yeah. So,
which, gross.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'm going to be avoiding the city that day. but yeah, no, I mean, I think it's really powerful, right? I mean, I think the whole reason, or like why we're even covering Sueños, or like the fact that it's an all Latin music festival in a predominantly white space, like what you said in the reel, right? Like, yeah, it's insane to see our culture and our ancestors celebrated in a space where we usually aren't. Like, I mean, just walking around Sueños, like you see, you know, traditionally, like traditional like Mexican getup around, or like the dances, they had that big, I forget the name of that doll that's been on tour. Yes. I forget her name, but yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's pretty powerful to be walking around and hearing mainly Spanish and hearing Spanish music in the background in a place where usually you have, you know, mainly English. Yes.
Yeah, I had a really good time. I thought that the performances were great, and overall I thought that the festival was actually really organized. Well, but yeah, the lineup, it had quite a few more women this year than last year, which I was happy to see. We had artists like Evie Queen and Young Miko, Pow Pow, who is like pretty underground in Chicago, which is like, okay, cool. Sorry, not in Chicago, in Puerto Rico. She's up and coming in Puerto Rico. And yeah, I mean, one like critique is that all of the women were still like playing pretty early in the day. Like Evie Queen's set was at like 2:50. So yeah, I mean, I think Becky G's was later, I think. But still, you know, happy to see that, and like the women being represented, especially from Chicago. Like, we had DJ Miriam, who we talked to. We had DJ Chava, who's been on the show before. She was actually one of our first guests.
Yeah.
So that's awesome to see just these women from our city being put on this big stage.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, the integration of the Sari Papi compound, right? It's a girls only compound, right? Within festival. Grand Park at the festival. Yeah. So I mean, first off, crazy that we know, you know, the people behind it, and then second off, like the fact that you know, Sueños is providing that space as well, right? Like the fact that they're willing to do that. I feel like maybe the topic of like, you know, I don't know. Like creating an exclusive space for women, but then excluding men. But fuck it. I mean, there's already enough spaces where we can be.
It's like men running, they run the world. Every space is already for them.
Exactly.
Can we have like just a tiny section? Yes. Thank you.
But even then, they still be trying to get in, because we see like lines of men like standing outside the compound waiting on girls to come out.
Waiting for their girlfriends. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah. Or to like hit on the girl or something. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows. But yeah, it was really cute, and it seemed like the girls had a really good time. So yeah, real trailblazers, real women, making like change and breaking barriers there. So that was really awesome to see. Did you have any other thoughts before we get into the interview?
Yeah, I think like one of the last things that I want to share about Sueños, and honestly, personally, the thing that I'm most impressed with is the fact that they're actually making an impact on our communities, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like how many things or like, you know, entertainment things like this, you know, make a pit stop in Chicago. I mean, obviously, like Sueños chose Chicago for a reason, I feel like, but they're not just here to give us a good time. I mean, the work that they're already doing by even providing us a space to like celebrate our music and our culture is great, right? But
they're also making significant financial contributions to local community organizations and groups.
Exactly. So yeah, I think they did over 220,000
collectively to different to various groups that serve like Latin community specifically in Chicago, which that is awesome, and not something you see all the time, like really putting their money where their mouth is.
Exactly. So shout out to them. I hope that, you know, these donations get bigger and better for us next year, and
The festival grows. It's only one stage right now. The past 2 years it's been one stage, so Grand Park is huge, so who knows what else they can do with the space in the future. And I'm looking forward to it.
I'm excited to see how it keeps developing. I think they're doing a really good job at, you know, bringing in like old school, new school,
exactly.
And like the future of like Latin
and music. Not just reggaeton,
exactly.
Like different types of Spanish music.
Yeah, like corridos. We had Junior H up there, I believe, to like banda. Like, yeah, so it's really exciting to see like such a young festival.
I appreciate that, like diversity as well in the music, in the food, and
I guess we'll see what we get up. I guess we'll see what they get into next year, and hopefully we'll be able to attend for the third year. And
follow
the evolution of the festival. So. With that being said, I think we can hop into these interviews with our girls at Sari Papi.
Yes, let's get it.
I just play it cool. Money on my mind, there's really no way I can lose. Bitches can't keep hating.
What's up? This is Sky Podcast. We're sitting here with Jackie. Can you pronounce your last name?
My full name is Jacqueline Terrazas. That's how you say it. Terraza. It's a powerful Mexican last name.
What part of Mexico?
I am from Durango.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, a small little pueblo called La Purísima.
Family's from Mexico, but are you from Chicago originally?
Yeah, so I was born here. My parents were born in Mexico, in Durango, La Purísima. They were born there and I was born here. But I go very often. I go every year, so I'm very familiar with my roots and my family out there. And I love going over there. It's a second home for me. My parents do a good job on showing me where they came from and the struggles they had to go through and the struggles all my family had to go through for me to have a good life. I know it sounds cliche, but it's true. Yes. You know? Oh, we just got shots. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What are we toasting to? We are toasting to hardworking women. Rosas, breaking barriers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And to a fucking weekend.
Yes, I will toast to that because I know what we do. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And we are in a male-led industry.
Yes.
And we're overcoming that stigma, stereotype.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay, so we should start with the introduction. For those that don't know, Jackie. Everybody call you Jackie, right?
Yes, I go by Jackie or Jax. Jax with an X. Nobody calls me Jacqueline.
Okay. Jackie is event tour manager, event coordinator, right? Like marketing genius. Yeah.
All of the above.
So Jackie manages a few different projects, but we're here to talk about Sorry Poppy,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, my favorite one.
Yeah, it's the most fun. Should we just start by saying what Sorry Poppy is?
I work for V5 Group. As you guys know, V5 Group is a marketing and entertainment company here in Chicago, the biggest Latino-based one. And I work for one branch of V5. It's called the Sorry Poppy Tour. It's an all-girl party. It started as an all-girl reggaeton party, and it is still mainly reggaeton, but we're trying to cater more genres because we want to cater to all women, not just Latinas.
Yeah.
I am the tour and project manager for that at the moment. And like she said, I do other projects, but that's what we're going to talk about today.
Can you talk about how you got into tour management?
For sure. So when I started with the company, I started as a content creator. I was actually making videos for the restaurant we're sitting in right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did little videos, like TikToks, trying to get people to come out to the restaurant. I did some for the clubs too. And then I guess I showed the team my dedication and hard work, and I wanted to learn. I was always willing to learn. I was always willing to teach. I used to be a teacher, by the way. We'll get into that later.
Didn't know.
Yes. So I guess I just, the opportunity came. They invited me to the main meeting of the party, what it was going to be, what we were going to bring to the table. And I was just spitting out ideas. I actually came up with the name Sorry Poppy. So from there, last year I kind of went just as a hand, I was helping out. And then this year I came in as a tour manager and project manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really incredible. And I can speak so on to what it means when you have initiative and motivation and where that can take you.
Mm-hmm.
And you work with Miriam.
I do. Oh, yes.
So we had on podcast last year, for Sueños.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your partner.
She is. She's an OG. She's been with V5 forever. And she's been with Sorry Poppy since last year, and so have I. So we've been through a lot together.
Yeah.
So I went to school for what I'm doing now, marketing communications, and I minored in psychology. But I was teaching. No, come in. This is perfect content.
We were just talking.
This is perfect.
Shot o'clock.
Yeah. What time is this?
Shot o'clock. Let's go.
Can you convince Nina for a shot?
Nina, are you fucking kidding me?
Just one.
Yay!
For her birthday.
You can never say no. Podcast. Make sure you guys check out my girls. They're fire.
Yummy.
Yummy. All right. You were talking about
teaching.
Yeah,
right. So I went to school for, like I said, marketing communications. I majored in psychology, but there was a school right down the street, where UIC is, and I got off on Damon, and I worked at a school there in Wicker Park. It's a private school, a Montessori school.
Yeah.
Are you guys familiar with the Montessori? No, it was Guidepost. It was on Damon, but it was called Guidepost. So it's not CPS, but it was a private school. It was a different method of learning, and I really love it. When I have children in 10 years, I hope to put them in that schooling, because those kids are so independent. They're so smart. They're just really hands-on with everything, and I just really love that method of teaching. But anyway, it was a college job. So I was there for 2 years. And then, you know, everyone has that year after college where you're really struggling to find a job. So I went to a middle school, and that's when I had it. It was school. I'm sorry, I hate middle schoolers. I cannot stand them. They are rude. They're disrespectful.
Anti-middle school.
Yes. Yes. They didn't respect me. They thought I was a kid. Like, they thought I was a high schooler. So they didn't respect me. And I was apparel. They're like TAs. So I wasn't the teacher, but I still taught a lot of classes. You know how little teenage boys are? They would be like, booty. And I'm like, shut. Like, I just couldn't stand it. Like, I was over it, you know? So they ruined it for me. Middle schoolers ruined it for me. But I'll tell you how I get out of there if you want me to. So then it was 2020. It was right during COVID, but the club decided to open all the rooftops, right? And I wanted to be a bottle girl for like some side money, because I was still at the school at the time, but you know, they don't pay well. So I needed some side cash, and I was like, I want to be a bottle girl, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So he put me on the roster, but things were closing and opening at the time. So when I was going to start, everything closed again. Yeah. So I didn't get the job, but he knew I was in school, or that I went to school for this. So he just gave me like a shot. Like, he didn't interview me really. He kind of just saw like my socials, and I had like a little side gig at the time, which I did really good on my like social media. So he kind of just gave me an opportunity, and from there, that's how I got in the company. Wow. And that's how I got out of teaching.
Wow. So you were saying, so they might have used this meeting, right? Like the origin meeting. And now y'all are in like 40 cities, like touring all year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the second year of your tour.
Yes,
and you're like too. Expanding.
We are, yeah. We just got word that we're going to Ensenada. Baja, okay. Is it Baja California? Under San Diego? Okay. It's in Mexico, but it's a lit city.
Oh, very cool. And I'm curious, like, is there like, I'm sure you have like a lot of stories from like being on tour, but is there a story that stands out? Like this is like the impact that we're having on the community and culture, like bringing women together.
Okay, I think for sure, the Dominican Republic one stood out to me the most. So that one is where we had the toughest time selling tickets, and I think it's just because the economic status out there, you know, and our tickets, they weren't expensive, but they're expensive out there. And we couldn't go lower because at the end of the day, you know, we also have to make money too. So we lowered them the most that we can, but we still didn't sell as much as we wanted to. And we saw the feedback from the girls, and they were saying that it was too much and blah, blah, blah. So we gave away tickets. We gave away 400 tickets. Wow. And we brought in 400 girls. And that was the smallest crowd we had, but it was the loudest. Wow. Every song, they were singing it. I had seen so many smiles. I seen so many girls. Because over there, like, I don't know if you guys have ever been to DR. I've only gone for that moment, but I was there for 4 days. And in those 4 days, I noticed the machismo and stuff. And a lot of the times in the comments that the girls sent us through Instagram and our messaging system was that the guys always pay, that the guys do this, that they never go out without the guys. And so after the party, the feedback was just so positive about how they had so much fun without the guys, that it was such a different dynamic. And I've never seen so many comments from any city of, come back to DR, come back to DR, cuando vuelven a RD, like so many. So I think that's when it like really hit me, because I'm sure women like that feel like that in the US too, but it was just more noticeable there, because it was like almost every girl that went would, you know, mention something to us. So that's where it really hit me. I was like, damn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's showing like the importance of like creating space for women.
For sure.
With men, and to like not have to deal with like the male gaze, or like,
yes,
dancing with men around, mm-hmm, or like dressing, knowing men are going to be around, and like just being more free.
The outfits are insane that the girls bring, in a good way. Like, yeah. I love it. It's like, I don't know if we've established yet what our outfit vibe is, because like when you go to EDC, it's obviously like bright colors and chrome and white, or those ties around the legs. And when you go to
like
Coachella, cowgirl boots, like, you know, what's the other one? Burning Man. It's like crazy desert outfits, whatever. I don't think we've established it yet, so I enjoy seeing girls come in the way they feel comfortable. I see girls in, you know, all black and cool, like leather and chains. I see girls in glitter and this and that, ass out, tits out, because, you know, they feel comfortable doing that. And the amount of shoes that come off is hilarious. They stack their shoes, their heels, and they like dance around
them. There's like a pile.
Yeah, it's so. Yeah, we need a shoe check, but we actually now we bought slippers and we give them away, like those hotel slippers. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, the confidence and comfort comfort that you see in the girls is just so amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of like, okay, so like it's kind of bringing me to the next question. So Sueños is happening this weekend. It's like a huge music festival.
Yes.
It's like Chicago's like premier Latino.
It is.
It's a huge reggaeton music festival.
I mean, well, I feel like
other groups too now that are not reggaeton, but like Spanish music. But like, I feel like it's one of the biggest in the country happening right now.
I think so. Yes, it is. I haven't looked at like the other competitor festivals, but definitely I've heard the talk about it, not just here but in other cities. You know, we go to different cities all the time, so we hear the buzz.
Yeah, I mean, the lineup is stacked. Who's gonna be there? I mean, Wisin and Yandel and like Nicky Jam are headlining, right? I mean, Becky G,
El Alfa, Fade, Grupo Firme, Arcángel, the list goes on. DJ Miriam,
Young Nico,
Ivy Queen. Did I say that right? Yeah, but yeah, they're all going.
Yeah, shout out all those.
Oh, yeah.
Badass women, like,
yes, so
from
many
Chicago that are going to be there
for sure.
Yeah.
So we have the Sorry Papi by Sueños compound. So yeah, it's a Sorry Papi village. The capacity in there is 800. Mm-hmm. And it's a glam area. There's 12 vanities.
Yeah,
12 vanities with hair braiders and glitter and body, yeah, or no, face and body glitter artists.
And no men allowed.
No men allowed. There's charger ports. There's water. Corona Refresca is sponsoring it. There's bean bags. There's our DJs. All the Sorry Papi DJs are going to have a set in there at some point.
Wow.
So it's just a little space for the girls to get away from their guy, get away from their guy friends, and just have a really good time.
Yeah, moment to take care of themselves. And mm-hmm. That's really incredible. I want to say, like, I really want to, like, put the context of, like, where this is happening. Like, one, it's in Grant Park, downtown Chicago, which is, like, a predominantly, like, white and, like, wealthy, like, space in the city. And, I mean, even within the festival, like, the lineup is dope, but it's really male-dominated as well.
It is. There's
so,
not many women.
You guys are, like, literally, like, creating a space within like the context of all of that, like for women to like be safe and like experience like joy and happiness. And I think that that's really like radical.
It is. You go in there, you come out in a good mood, and it sounds dramatic, but you have a different perspective on things. It's like especially in a drinking space, club space where there's alcohol, you bump into a girl, you're like, why you do that, bitch, what the fuck? Like, that's how they are, you know. But you bump into a girl, Sorry Papi, like, you're like, oh, I'm sorry, it's so cute. Like, it's literally that vibe. And when you go into something knowing that you're going in there for the positive energy, you come out with really more positive energy. So
I
love doing this and bringing it to other places. And we really want to bring it to more festivals,
yeah,
especially Baja. Yeah. Baja Beach Fest. That's our next goal.
I know that you're going to get there. I just really wanted to like take that time to like acknowledge like the space that and like the literal barriers that you guys are breaking.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else like it.
Mm-hmm.
And not a shout out, like the women in your lives, like is the bestie.
For sure. Oh my gosh, that's a great question. I have only one sister and my mom, so, and my dad obviously, but them too, I think, you know, and my grandma lives with me too. I'm a stay-at-home daughter, by the way. So I think them three, you know, growing up and before I had this job, I was like, you know, home a lot. I was more present, and I can feel them missing me now because I'm never home. But despite that, you know, they never take it personal. They're always pushing me for my goals. Like, I had a lot of times where I wanted to quit and stuff, and you know, they told me to keep pushing that I was going to get through it and that things were going to pay off in the end, and they did.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told you, like I told you guys in the beginning, my mom, she struggled. She had a really hard time too. And so my mom, she's a really strong woman. Like, I've never seen somebody keep up how she does. And, you know, my mom struggles with depression and anxiety really bad. And I did too in high school, but it sucks, you know. It's really hard. I don't know how I got out of it, but I did. I mean, I'm not saying it won't come back.
ancestral.
But it just, my grandfather and my mom dealt with it really, really bad.
Yeah.
So, like, and then I had it really bad, like, middle school, high school. And, well, what I was saying with that is that my mom struggles with that to this day. And, you know, she still goes, she still perseveres through that. She still works. She still takes care of my grandma. She still takes care of the house. She takes care of my dad. You know how Latino men are. Like, she still does all of that despite feeling the way that she does, and I think that makes me, you know, it makes me think like I can do anything too, and I'm thankful for my mom for that, and she's always there for me, and she's like the coolest mom ever. So my mother, I would say, and my sister.
Okay, so last question is just like, I guess, do you have any advice or suggestions for young women that like want to be like you, want to be in the music industry, marketing, creative?
Yeah. For sure. So I would say to not, this is going to sound cliche, but not be scared and not give up, because this is the truth. I work in a male-led industry. I constantly have men giving me condescending comments like I'm dumb, and we're young and we're good looking,
yeah,
and we're women, so it's hard. And all of the men at the venues, all of the men that like the promoter, it's all guys, girls. We're the only girls that walk in. We come in with a group of like 8 girls and they're like shocked. Yeah, 8 young beautiful women, like, and they say condescending things, they make you feel dumb, and like sometimes I'm like laying in bed at night and I'm like, damn, did I fuck up right there? Did I say the wrong thing? Should I have just stayed quiet? But then I'm like, no, fuck that. Like, I'm doing something that they probably took years to do. And, you know, I just started here because of, you know, my work ethic. And just don't let them, my biggest piece of advice is don't ever let somebody make you feel less than what you are and what you're doing. Like, if you feel that you're doing a good job and you're working hard, just keep on going. Eventually, you're going to get there. And yeah, just don't let anybody ever intimidate you or talk down to you. That's the best thing I could say, because that almost made me quit on multiple occasions with multiple different people, and I didn't. I didn't let that happen, and I'm still here today.
Yeah, shout out you for advocating for yourself.
Thank you. 100%. I have a friend. I want to say this really quick. My friend, her name's Mireya. She is in the commercial real estate business, and her parents were both born in Mexico. She was born over there too, and she moved here when she was 7, and she just texted me. She's like, I'm in a dinner with 11 white men. 11. And she was the only young Latina woman in there. And the other, I slept over her house one day because we got drunk and like we were working from home, and I looked at her computer and it's all these crazy numbers, and I'm like, I didn't know what the hell I was looking at. But to see her succeed in that, she interviewed the CEO of her company at like for some special occasion, and she also is somebody that I really look up to because we grew up together, we went to the same school, high school, and seeing her persevere. It was the shots. Seeing her persevere in that industry, like, honestly, it gives me more motivation too. Because, you know, luckily, like, I work with a lot of Latino men, and I'm still intimidated. So I can only imagine her working with white men. Yeah. And she says they make, like, not, they make comments that they don't mean, you know, that they don't mean it in a bad way, but it just shows you grew up differently.
Yeah. I know we're wrapping up, but you think that
these are... Oh, like, shit, sorry. I'm talking a lot.
I want to say something else.
Oh, okay.
Like, these are good points that we're making. I was in some really intense conversations on Monday with, like, some, like, a crazy group of, like, world thought leaders and people from all different industries, and they're trying to say, like, oh, like, what would the future feel like if we, like, basically, like, achieve, like, equity in creative industries? That was literally, like, the question. And I was sitting at the table, also mostly white people.
Yeah.
And I was like, for me, that would feel like walking into a room and people not wondering why I was there.
I wish you had this little mic so you could have left. That's amazing though. I'm glad you said that. Yeah, you know, yeah. Say what you feel. Don't be scared.
Make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, make them uncomfortable. Make those statements. Like, put them in that, like, weird situation. I mean, I don't think we should ever feel bad for that.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, and that's, like, yeah, you really get that feeling. I mean, it's part of why we have this podcast. Because, like, there's so many women around us doing badass things. Overcoming, like, systemic obstacles. Why it's called systematic.
I love it. Also, because you're sisters? Yeah. Sis? Yeah. Clever.
Yeah, we love to see, like, our sisters, like, you and your friends, like, doing what they love. Like, awesome. And making it.
Well, yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. It was an amazing conversation. It was so natural.
Yeah.
So it was great. Okay. Thank you. Bye. What's good?
Money on my mind, there's really no way I can lose. Bitches can't keep hating, I ain't got nothing to prove. I'ma do my thing, little baby, you know I'm the truth. Yeah, yeah.